The first case on our calendar, 04-1216, Fichtel and Sachs Industries, Inc. versus Thomas Zeno, Tax Commissioner. Mr. White.
Good morning, Chief Justice Moriarty and Associate Justices. I request this time that the court reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal purposes.
Watch your time there on the clock.
Thank you. This time, this case involves a question of whether the Board of Tax Appeals correctly interpreted and applied the floor storage only exemption in 5711.22C. As a general principle, taxation is a rule and exemption from taxation are the exception. Because taxation is the derogation of equal rights, they must be strictly construed. The burden is on a taxpayer to show its entitlement to an exemption. In this case, 5711.22 provides a tax exemption for merchandise brought into this state and held in a public warehouse without further manufacturing or processing. In this case, the Board of Tax Appeals correctly determined that the merchandise in question, in this case, clutch kits, was brought into the state and it was processed. But the Board of Tax Appeals incorrectly determined that the exemption under 5711.22C is not applicable until it is applicable until the tax commissioner identifies and selects the item, or the taxpayer identifies and selects the items for processing. By making this second determination, the Board of Tax Appeals shifted the burden, we claim, from the taxpayer to the tax commissioner. 50.22C clearly provides that exemption applies only to merchandise that's brought into the state, held in a public warehouse or facility without further processing. In this case, it's clear that the board determined, and the record reflects that the clutch kit components were actually processed into clutch kits, and therefore they were subject to processing.
If we find that the clutch kits don't meet the test for processing, that's the rest of the case is moot. Is that right? Would you agree?
If they're not processed,
if placing these pieces of the parts of clutch into the box and shipping them off, if that's not processing under the statute, if we hold that's not processing, does that end the case?
I think that would basically. That's the only criteria that that a taxpayer must overcome under 0.22C at this point is that it must not be subject to processing. This court decisions in Grinnell and American Can, I think, are controlling this case. This court in Grinnell and the subsequent decision in American Can precludes the taxpayer from claiming a forced storage only exemption where merchandise is held as ordinary inventory for use in processing. In Grinnell, the court considered a question that was not considered in B.F. Goodrich, which was decided by the appellee. And also not considered in general, cigar. That question basically was whether merchandise can be held only for storage only within the meaning of 5701.08 when that merchandise is held as ordinary working inventory for use in ordinary processing. In Grinnell, the court held that such merchandise cannot be reasonably considered held for storage only when it's kept on hand as material, parts, product, or merchandise. The syllabus in Grinnell basically states property cannot be considered held for storage only in a warehouse for storage only within the meaning of 5701.08 revised code in those instances where it is located at the place where it is to be used and manufacturing, at the place where it was manufactured to a product, or at the place where it, which in effect is to be delivered by the taxpayer directly to a customer. The circumstances in General Cigar and B.F. Goodrich are not present in this case, nor were they present in Grinnell and American Can. In General Cigar, the tobacco issue was not held at a facility where it was to be processed. In B.F. Goodrich, the tire cores were not held at the place where they were to be processed, nor were they held at the place where the owner of the tire cores were to sell them. The General Assembly clearly intended when it enacted 0.22C that 0.22C and 5701.0B be construed together. This is clear because .22C specifically refers to .08B1 and 2. Furthermore, .22C incorporates the language in .08B, providing that merchandise shipped from outside of this state and held in a state in a warehouse or facility where is to be stored must be without further processing, manufacturing, or processing for storage only.
Well, there wasn't any manufacturing. Are we agreed on that?
Manufacturing was, I think the board made the determination was processing.
Right, so there's no manufacturing. So the question that we really have to face is whether or not the repackaging constitutes processing.
That is correct.
In your view, that it is processing.
That is correct. I refer the court to 5711.16, which defines manufacturing. This court's back since 1885 in the Eagle case used that language to determine whether a particular activity of a taxpayer was engaged, was processing or actually manufacturing. Again, the language in that 5711.16 refers to a manufacturer, and then it also refers to the various items that are required to add value. One of those includes combining various materials with the purpose of adding value for
Counselor,
a profit.
But this isn't combining materials. This is just taking two separate pieces and putting them in the same package.
Not quite, Your Honor. Again, this taxpayer is engaged in putting kits together with various parts that are needed to place a clutch kit onto a vehicle. A clutch is actually a mechanism that engages and disengages the transmission to the motor of the vehicle. It does it for numerous types of vehicles, makes and models over, you know, if you look at the catalog they have a listing of 100+ pages of different types of vehicles. So the units that they put into these packages are specifically designed for those types of vehicles. They're not the same individual, even though they may have the same function, they are actually different parts for different types of vehicles.
But basically what we're talking about is a shelf full of all sorts of different pieces or parts, and then for one particular kit, you take part A, B, and C and put it in a box. And for the next kit, you take D, E, and F and put it in a box. That's about what it is.
That's exactly what they do. But then again, if you look at
and you think that's constitutes manufacturing.
What I refer again back to the court back to is 5711.16.
All right.
It states that a person is a manufacturer if it holds personal property with the purpose of adding value by doing one of four things, manufacturing.
Counselor, let me stop you right there. You said by adding value.
Yes.
It's my understanding from reading the materials that the same price is charged for the components of the kit as is charged for the individual sale of each component.
That, I think, was a testimony, or at least the assertion, I think, by counsel at that point in time in the hearing. However, the value, I think, is a relative term. I thought about it. If I were to purchase a bookcase and had it in the package, it was supposed to be assembled, and I got to the point of assembling that bookcase, and there was a couple of screws that were missing, I would have to decide whether do I take this package back and actually get the screws that I needed, or do I try to find the screws, or do I just simply leave the bookcase, you know, half assembled. What they're doing basically is they're providing a ready-made kit that can be used to put into a vehicle, and that individual who is using that kit to do that doesn't have to go out and get the various parts that are needed for that vehicle. They've done that work for them. In our time,
so you're classifying then a convenience factor here for the recipient of the already assembled clutch package as an added value?
What I am saying is that their advertisement specifically states that that is one of the virtues of their package, or their kits, is they put all the items that are needed. They eliminate the customer having to go out to various stores. They state that in their advertisement. Go out to various locations and find the items that are needed to put a clutch into a particular type vehicle. They do that for the consumer.
That doesn't convert the property into a different state than it was in, does it? Aren't we talking about 573901S? Which defines manufacturing or processing means the transformation or conversion of material or things into a different state or form from that in which they originally existed. You're arguing then, I guess, that when Saks takes items off the shelf, puts them in a box, and sends them to their customers, that transforms and converts the material?
Your Honor, I'm referring to 5711.16. And 5711.16 identifies what manufacturer is. And it basically says, that manufacturer is one who receives, holds, or purchases personal property with the intent of adding value by one of four things: manufacturing, rectifying, refining, or combining different materials with the end of profit or gain. That's all it requires.
So you don't think processing is any?
I think that I referred to.
I thought that was probably your stronger argument, frankly, to say this is processing, not manufacturing. I mean, all our cases, seems to me, are cases that where we try to define manufacturing, which is an ongoing effort, indicate this is not manufacturing, but perhaps processing. Because
well, that's
you're taking
the court,
something and arguably changing it, putting it in a box, and that changes it. But you don't want to argue that. You're arguing manufacturing.
Well, I refer to Chief Justice to the case of Stone Co. I think that case very clearly says that, when you take stone and break it into smaller parts and get it down to the specific needs of the customer, that is processing. Basically, what this taxpayer is doing is taking an infinite number of parts, selecting them for individual types of vehicles, putting them into a package, and making that package available as a product. Those parts, when they come into the facility, they buy the parts and they have numbers on them. They assign an identifying part number to them. When they put them into that box, that part loses its identity as a part individually, and that box becomes the product that is being sold.
If one of Saks' customers came to their warehouse and said, "We want parts A, B, and C, would you please put them in a box for me?" And then Saks says, "Oh, you go ahead, you take them off the shelf, put them in a box." And the people who put them in a box, exact same products that we're talking about here, what's the tax implication?
Well, that's the contention, Justice Moyer, of the taxpayer here, is that they did that kind of activity. They did not present any evidence showing that they actually purchased items and then put them into a box at the demand of an individual customer. What they did is they did it in anticipation of the market. They pulled these items, they purchased them when they found there was a need for them in the market, pulled them together and put them on shelves, waiting for a customer to demand or request certain clutch kits that were available. And then they pulled them off the shelf and put them into a box that's here today, in a very plain box, and shipped it out to the customer. And that's what we're saying, if they had shown that they actually took items out of a shelf and put them into a box and handed it to the customer, that would be a different matter. But what they're doing is they're actually taking various parts, putting them into a box, putting them on the shelf, and holding those as products, waiting for a customer to
buy them. And that's manufacturing.
But they don't put those parts together.
They do.
Do they put them together before they put them in the box?
Or yes, Your Honor. That's exactly what they do. Is they take the various parts. Each type vehicle obviously requires a different type of clutch. Mm-hmm. And so they individually take these parts that are normally going to a kit, and they put these items into a box, build them up as clutch kits on a plaque, and then put them back on a shelf. And they go into a next car type vehicle, and they put clutch kits in that box and assemble them.
So, Counselor, just a minute. I want to if I have a follow-up question. So when this clutch kit is received by the ultimate where it's going to go on the vehicle, there's nothing further to do? They just can put this kit onto the vehicle?
Well, that's the unique value that we are claiming exists, is that clutch kit, and their advertisement says that clutch kit is such that it can be used to put a clutch into a vehicle. They don't have to go out and get any other parts, and they can simply put the clutch kit into the vehicle.
So you're contending then that manufacturing or processing is when they put it together before they put it in the box?
What I'm saying is that they're purchasing parts that would normally put it, be used to put in a clutch on a car, and they put them in together, eliminating the problem for the ultimate consumer to have to do that, and that's adding value by putting them together. They would not be of the same value if they were purchased individually, and the customer had to go out and buy the individual parts.
What do you mean by putting them together? I thought from what I read, all they did was put each part in the box and send it off to the customer. The customer then took the parts out of the box and assembled them and put them in the car.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that it's not the case here, okay. Justice Moyer, is that they actually are taking the various parts and putting them in four particular type vehicles, putting them into a box, putting them back on the shelf after they've assembled.
Counselor, do they assemble the clutch in the box? It comes out of the box, a whole clutch and plate and everything, and all the customer or the consumer does is screw it in place?
Yes, the customer, in fact, if you look at the box here, it actually has instructions on the outside of the box telling the customer how to install the items that are in that box onto a vehicle. Well,
items or item? Does the three parts become one?
No.
Inside that box?
No, there are several items. There are actually six items in the box.
Okay.
Three of them actually are parts of the clutch. One of them, if you look at their instructions, is in fact a part of the drive wheel of the motor. Sometimes that's worn out, and so they add that part in there so you can add it to the motor, so that, you know, the drive wheel, the motor, so you can actually put the clutch in there without any problems.
Because right.
They're putting all the items that you need to put a clutch in.
Okay,
the car.
So they accumulate these items in the box, and then the consumer has to figure out where they go in the car, or the mechanic, or whomever is assembling the repair. Backing up to what you said earlier in response to Justice Resnick's question, I believe, you're saying then it's simply a matter of timing. If they assemble a box, they take all the parts and put them in one location inside of a cardboard box and put it on the shelf, that's the activity that you say triggers the tax burden. And if a customer comes up and says, I want these six parts, and they pull them off the shelf, put them in a box, and hand it to them, that's not a taxable trigger.
Because 22C takes out the taxability of merchandising inventory. It only taxes and provides a tax applicable to manufacturing inventory.
So it's manufactured if the box goes back on the shelf, and it's not manufactured if it's assembled and handed directly to the consumer.
No. What we're saying is that when they take individual parts, put them together with a design, obviously they have to go through some kind of mechanism in design in their computer to identify the parts that are adaptable to a particular type vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
When they take those and put them into a box, they're adding convenience for the customer, the ultimate consumer, that vehicle, that box will actually have everything that person wants to put that clutch into that particular type vehicle. When they do that for 200 types of vehicles at different times, they're actually, when they're assembling these all together, we're claiming they're processing the various parts, the six parts, by putting them into that box. The box has a label identifying the part, that as a part. The customer looks at the catalog they have, looks for a part for a particular type vehicle, looks not for the individual components in that box, they look for the box itself of a part number and pull that part, ask that part to be pulled and shipped to them so they could have that for, you know, using and installing a clutch into a vehicle.
Okay, and what happens if the customer comes in and goes up to the counter and orders the exact same thing?
Exactly what we said is they had produced evidence to show that they were doing that, then they would have actually met their burden with regard to the exemption. They did not do that, but what we're saying is yes, if they had have actually sold some of these parts, which they're claiming they did, as individual parts, then that would be entitled to an exemption under point 22C. But they did not present any evidence to show that.
So, counsel, the statement in the briefs that there was no additional cost, there was no added cost for the kits as opposed to the individual items, you're saying that was not part of the evidence here?
I'm saying, if my recall was that there was there may have been a question asked to the witness whether or not there were, was there any additional cost? I think the witness may have actually said no. I guess where our point is that when you look at point 16, 11.16, it talks about added value. And the value we're claiming that exists here is that the customer is getting a ready kit box that it can not have to go out and get the various parts and put them on a vehicle. This society now is really interested in having their time, you know, persons having use of their time. What this does is it gives value to that person that he doesn't have to go out or she doesn't have to go out and get the various items to put a clutch into a vehicle. They have done that work for them.
So as Justice O'Connor has said, it's a matter of convenience. You're talking about the added value being the convenience to the customer. Since we really don't know, the customer could have paid the same for getting the individual parts or getting the kit. But you're saying because they don't have to go and get the individual parts, this convenience is the added value.
What I'm saying is that there was a witness that was asked that question, where there was probative evidence other than the witness stating, yes, there's no additional value. There was not that in the evidence. There was no evidence going through the actual individual items saying this costs this and this compared to if you just put in the box, the same the cost is there. There was a witness that asked a question, and he came back and said yes. Okay. So there was really not a lot of evidence there.
Thank you, Mr. White.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bernard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Ted Bernard on behalf of Fichtel and Sachs. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes on the reply, if I may. With me today is Raymond Anderson and Kevin Sherwanka. They're here on behalf of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce and the Ohio Council of Retail Merchants. I'd like to start off with a demonstration. I'd like to show you exactly what we're talking about in this case. So I've asked Mr. Anderson to please, he's taken the things out of the box, and now he's going to put them back into the box. That's it. That's all that was done. They were never, ever attached together.
They're not assembled, obviously. They are, and it would appear that they can't. You can't take those, whatever, five or six parts and put them as a unit onto a vehicle. Is that your
is
argument?
Correct. There's really three parts, and the other three parts are in a little plastic bag. They're just throwaway items. There's a little lubricant and a tool and a bearing, or a bushing, rather. So they're not the point. The point is we have these three items. And they have to be assembled by the mechanic, or if you did it yourself, you would assemble them. But there is no attachment. There is never any attachment.
But when your customer gets that box of parts, the commissioner argues there's a convenience to having parts shipped in that box so that they don't have to, I guess, shop around for them or go to your warehouse and pick them off the shelves or have them brought to them there. Is that... What's your argument? What's your response to that argument?
There is a convenience factor. Our customers demand that we do it, but we're not adding value by manufacturing or processing. If we don't add some value, we have no reason to be in the chain, and we have no reason to be hiring people or being in the state of Ohio. So the convenience factor is not manufacturing or processing, but you've got to be able to meet the customer's needs, but you cannot manufacture or process.
Well, you would still conceivably have a reason for being, and that is that you have all these essential parts in your warehouse at a location that is convenient and easily reachable by the mechanics or the do-it-yourselfers, including, I assume, I mean, I don't know whether your client sells to the big national auto parts chains or not, but all of those have ongoing needs and don't like to keep any more inventory than necessary on their own shelves or in their own back office.
And that's true, Your Honor. But the competitor down the street can do the same thing, and if they're putting them together in a box for the customer, we have to do it too. What really shows this doesn't work is if instead of sending one box, we sent three boxes. So it's exactly the same parts. They go to the same place. They're assembled by a mechanic in the same way. But it's three boxes. It's a completely different tax result. And that simply doesn't make any sense at all. In terms of processing, I think that the court has used processing and manufacturing together. The statute uses them together. And they share in common the idea that change in state or form is necessary. So if I'm breaking up stone, I don't manufacture stone. If I make a salad and cut up all the vegetables, I don't manufacture a salad, but I process it. I cause a change in state or form. Processing is used in conjunction with manufacturing, and they're so similar that if they're not manufacturing, they're not processing. The other
Counselor, could I just ask you one more question about the components of your box there? Is it possible, and this probably shows my lack of knowledge about a clutch, one part would wear out and you wouldn't need all three of the major parts that are combined in that box?
That may be true. My understanding is the standard now is if one goes out,
they replace
you're much
it
better
all.
Off to do all three parts.
Okay.
And that's what people do now because, you know, the labor's such that if one goes, you're probably much smarter doing the three of them together. So
okay.
that's why the three generally go together.
Is it fair to say that your claim is that you're simply packaging, and packaging does not constitute either manufacturing or processing?
That is the core of our case, Your Honor, and that packaging has been approved in the General Cigar case. It's been understood for 50 years that you can package. What the tax department's been doing, saying
that's well, why you said three boxes as opposed to one box doesn't make any difference because you think you're just packaging, and if you can consolidate it to one box, it's a better economical approach to getting the product delivered to the ultimate consumer.
Yes, Your Honor, and it still remains packaging. And
the crux of the tax commissioner's argument appears to be that the assemblage adds convenience and that adds value. What is your response to that?
Well, Your Honor, we do hopefully add value. And the convenience factor is an element. But the statute says the kind of value you cannot add and maintain the forced storage exception is you cannot add value through manufacturing or processing. That's why we asked Mr. Burt, who is a CPA and the chief financial officer of the company, was there any additional price added through the packaging? That's significant because if you're manufacturing, you're required to capture your costs and add them in, and under tax law and under accounting, that's the full absorption accounting method. So if we were manufacturing these, we would have to add in the value of that, and they would increase. And the fact that we don't account for them that way is a strong indicator, in addition to the fact that it shows there's no additional value by this activity, but it shows that this is not manufacturing or processing.
Doesn't this decision sort of have far-reaching consequences? Because, you know, you go to a cosmetic store and you get a bag of cosmetics all designed for the same purpose. Is that manufacturing or processing? You go to a food store and get a pre-packed, you know, box of goods and crackers and cheese. They all go together. Is that, you know, this seems to me has some pretty far-reaching consequences beyond just your case.
That's what we're concerned about, and we are pleased to have some amici here with us today. We're asking for the status quo. We're asking for the way it's been for the last 50 years. Packaging has been an acceptable activity. There are rules for manufacturers. There's rules for merchants, including distributors. And the tax commissioner is trying to take the rules for manufacturer and apply them over to distributors, but they just don't fit. And the bottom line on that activity is that it is packaging, and by any other name, it remains packaging. It is assembly in the sense that I assembled my papers and came up to the podium. It is not assembly in the sense that you're attaching anything together. Manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers all package. The fact that you then package doesn't make you a manufacturer. And the fact that you're a manufacturer packaging doesn't make you a wholesaler. They're using an activity that's common to all three and attributing it back to manufacturing, which is simply wrong. In this case, the statute, now we're talking about the current version is 1991, and then it was revised in 1994 to allow us to sell directly to customers. That in turn goes back to the General Cigar case and Grinnell case and American Can, and you can see where the statute came from. So for 50 years, people have been looking at those cases and seeing that you can package, and they have been taking that to heart and believing that they can store items here and not run afoul of the statute. Packaging is absolutely an inherent part of the wholesale distribution process, and you got to put it into a container. whether it's a pretty container or whether it isn't, whether it has writing or whether it doesn't change what it is in essence, which is a package at the end of the day. The rule that you look at whether there's a change in state or form to the product is the rule that we can understand. It's the rule the court has applied in a number of different circumstances. Manufacturing and processing is changing the product, and packaging is something else. And we ask you to continue to apply the rule in this case because it's withstood the test of time, and it's the appropriate rule to provide. You know, ultimately, a question of whether it's manufacturing or processing, and because it isn't, we ask you to reverse the Board of Tax Appeals with respect to its finding that it is manufacturing or processing. There is no question that on the appeal of the tax commissioner that that becomes moot if you determine that it's manufacturing or processing. And if I could reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bernard. Mr. White, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
I think the key here is the difference between a manufacturer and a merchandise. 2016 says, you know, you add value to items, you're a manufacturer, you're processing it by combining different materials and selling it for advanced price.
Does that, merchandising, let me ask you, does add value mean add value to the item, such as if they were to take, if Saks was to take those parts and say buff, if there's one that's got brass, buff the brass so that there are no little pieces on it that would, you know, that would cause harm in a clutch, and then they put it in the box. It seems to me that would be adding value to the product.
That
don't we have to decide whether your argument is adding value, the convenience. We've never said convenience adds value. I don't think. I think it's in the context of packaging, it's not a new argument, but certainly convenience is adding value, I think, is a new argument to us, and that's why I want to make sure I understand exactly what your argument is.
Well, the term value is used in point 16, and it talks about using that, adding value by combining with the purpose of gain. It's been clear that they're using this concept of putting items in a box with the purpose of selling them. If you look at their list, he's stated that, you know, a customer maybe asked for four or three or three boxes or so. If your list, the page supplement 368 shows their list where a customer orders these packages they put into the shelves after they have assembled them, and the customer orders, in this case, over 30-some items that are different boxes they've assembled at different times. They are actually in the business of putting these items together as a product, and they're basically counting on the fact that the customer...
But they haven't changed. They've not transformed the plates or the discs over there that come to them from the manufacturer. They don't do anything to those, do they?
They don't
buff them.
They don't put them together. They don't physically change them in any way.
It seems now as if your suggestion that they could just be installed as a unit in a vehicle, that doesn't seem to be what we saw here. There were four or five individual pieces that weren't a unit. Were not a unit. Were they?
They are. In fact, the
I mean, you could take those pieces and
refer to has the tissue that they have to put those, insert those parts into. All these parts are listed out here, and the workers take them time and time, put them in the little cellophane packages that you see there. They put them into that. They put them into the box. The idea is that this item is designed for a kicker type vehicle. And they're counting upon the market demanding that particular clutch kit for the convenience, I guess, of the customer. Basically, they're saying we can actually sell this at a better clip than we could an individual.
But, Counselor, doesn't the mechanic have to put the items together? He has to screw them together or insert them and whatever they do to put a clutch in. That's the mechanic's job. Mechanic takes the pieces and the parts and he puts them in their specific order after he removes the old damaged clutch, and then has to assemble this into the vehicle.
The mechanic did not have the plate for that particular type vehicle. It was left out of that box. The mechanic would have to go out and get that plate. They're counting on that mechanic saying, I have everything I need to do my job at this point in time. That's what they're looking at. They're saying, we are actually putting everything you know confidently, everything you need to install that vehicle, this clutch, and this type of vehicle is in that box.
And if Sachs would assemble, if it was possible, which I don't think it is, but if it was possible to assemble the entire mechanism and then put it in a box, in other words, take the pieces and screw them together or attach them together so they are one unit, and then, as we said, or I asked earlier, just insert that unit with a couple bolts or something, that'd be a different story. But that responsibility lies with the mechanic.
You would not be able to do that unless you had the vehicle there, I assume, to attach the various parts onto the vehicle. I don't know all the dynamics of a clutch, but it seems to me to actually affix that clutch into a vehicle, you'd have to have the vehicle there. You put these parts, the parts are there, and all the mechanic needs to do is take those parts out of the box and start assembling them. If there's a need for a particular part that they call a throwaway part, the brushing, then they can actually use that because it's there in the box. If they have any doubt, and a regular layman consumer have any doubt how to install it, the instructions on the box, how to install the various parts in the box.
Which further points to the need for assembly transformation by the end user, which is the mechanic or the vehicle owner.
They made it easy, taken out of the group of
parts. So making it easy is the added value.
No,
that's your argument.
No, what I'm saying is that they've taken all the parts that are available in their facility and designed and pulled them down to the various parts for that particular type of vehicle and put them in the box and said they're available for people who have need for that particular vehicle to be installed, have those clutches installed.
I think we understand the argument. Thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Bernard, you've saved a little more than five minutes of your time.
Your Honor, I won't take that much time. The point I'd like to make is that it does come down to convenience. That is the argument of the tax department, that adding value means making it more convenient in the absence of manufacturing and processing. Now, the problem with that argument is you cannot find that in the statute. The statute is very explicit, talks about you cannot add value by manufacturing or processing. So when it's not manufacturing or processing, even if you add value through convenience, it's not enough. The second idea is that this is a bad rule. This is a rule we don't know what it means. There is the concern that it would have a far-reaching implications, but we don't know what it would mean because we can't know what this adding value through convenience and what gloss that will be placed in the field. So it is a bad rule that we ask you not to embrace. And just to be clear, there was nothing that was ever done to these. They didn't even check them to see if they met specs. They didn't polish them. They didn't do anything. There's no manufacturing involved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.